So we've been talking about walking in the blessings of God, and today we're going to address the subject of blessings one more time. And God, did you know that God wants to bless you? Sometimes it's not the way you think you need to be blessed, but He has a heart for you. He has a desire for you, and He wants to bless you in the things that He has put in your heart to do. Let's stand together for the reading of God's word. We're going to look at Psalm chapter 1. What? What did I say? So aerobic exercises, okay. We need a little exercise. So we're going to read verses 1 through 3, and I'm going to get out of the way. We're going to read this together, okay? So blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated for a moment. So we want to talk about this tree that's producing fruit. And we want to talk about what kind of fruit it's producing. Says that whatever it does will prosper. So we're going to talk about four types of fruit today. I'm messing up somebody's music. We're going to talk about four types of fruit today that a righteous person should be portraying, that should be manifesting in their lives. And the first one is the fruit of the lips. The fruit of the lips. I heard a lot of groans. Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Continually offering the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So I want to talk about just a minute about the sacrifice of praise. Did you know that there are sometimes you wake up and you don't feel like praising? Did you know that sometimes when you wake up, there is trouble in your soul and there's difficulty that you're facing and your mind is the farthest thing from offering God praise? As a matter of fact, you might be waking up grumbling and griping and complaining rather than praising. But here's what I discovered. Did you know why it's called a sacrifice of praise? Because sometimes we don't want to do it. And it's a sacrifice to do it. So he says what we ought to do rather than grumbling and griping and complaining is we ought to look to the Father and begin offering him sacrifices of praise, because whatever you're facing, he knows about it. And he has a fix for it. He does. He has a way to work in that situation. And so actually the sacrifice of praise is a sacrifice, is a way of showing our faith to him that, God, I know you're in control. Lord, I know my house has burned down. Lord, I know I'm bankrupt. Lord, I know that my foundation's rotten. Whatever it is, Lord, I know. And you know this. And Lord, I know that I put myself in this situation. I know I've been negligent in my life, but Lord, I'm not going to be negligent anymore. And I give you this offering, this sacrifice of praise, because I know you can fix it and I can't. But Lord, if you will lead me in what to do about this situation, I will do it. Offer him a sacrifice of praise every morning. He says continually, continually, continually. Sometimes we have to tell our mind what it ought to do rather than our emotions telling us what we should do, right? So we need to tell our mind and we need to tell our emotions and we need to tell our body what to do. David said, O soul, give an offering of sacrifice of praise. Why are you downcast? Praise the Lord anyway, is what he says. And what we need to do is the same thing. It's hard. We have to remind ourselves to do that, to offer a sacrifice of praise, because that's not something that we're normally feel like doing always. We feel like praising him when things are going well. We feel like praising him when everything's going our way. We feel like praising him when everything is peaceful around us. But what he says to do is offer a sacrifice of praise even when things look dark. And he also says this fruit of our lips is giving thanksgiving. I was speaking to a couple some time ago of doing some marriage counseling. And one of the issues was that he wanted to give thanks at the meal, and she didn't at mealtime. And here's what I'm saying. I think we need to be thankful all the time. We need to find something to be thankful for, even when things are not going the way we want them to. We need to be thankful. We need to be thankful. We have a lot to be thankful for. I was reading a book the other day, and it was, it's a devotion, and I forget. I should have written it down. Somebody in the 17th century wrote this, basically, and I'm shortening it. It was good. He said, we need to be thankful we're not in hell. We need to be thankful we have a second chance. Amen. There's a lot we have to be thankful for. We need to be thankful for the good health we have. We need to be thankful. Let's do it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. I think the Lord was delighted in that. And that's what we need to do. Even when our soul is downcast, we need to give an offering, a sacrifice of praise. Didn't that make your soul feel good when you did that? We have a lot to be thankful for. Rather than reflecting on the things that you don't have, we need to reflect on the things that we do have. We need to, God has given us so much. God has given us so much. And we need to be thankful for the things that he's coming, that he's giving us. So I'm asking you a question. What's the fruit coming from your lips? Did you know that our speech can bring life or death to ourselves and to others? These passages of scripture, Proverbs, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So let me just ask you a question. What type of things are coming out of your mouth? Whatever comes out of your mouth is what you love. And so is it bringing life or is it bringing death? Because you're enjoying the fruit. Whatever the fruit is, you're enjoying it. And if it's bringing death, it should be something that you need to, you think about changing. If it's bringing death to yourself, it's bringing death to someone else, then I would suggest correct that. James says that we are that our tongue is an instrument of evil. And it's like a fire. It's like a forest fire. A little spark can cause a forest fire. And a little spark, a little spoken word can cause issues and can cause problems. And he says we need to watch our tongue. He said nobody's perfect. If you can tame the tongue, you will become a perfect person. You are a perfect person. So we need to watch the things we say, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 12:18. There's one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. So I'm going to ask you, do you speak cutting remarks? Do you cut people with your words? Or the words that you speak, do they bring health and wholeness to an individual's life? You know, there's an old proverb that says, sticks and stones break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie straight out of hell. I don't know. I remember saying that as a kid. Mostly to my brother. But you know, it hurt every time. You know, we can say that all we want to. The truth is it hurts. And the truth is that cutting remarks cut deep and wound the soul. And sometimes people take those cutting remarks with them all through their lives. Someone I was visiting with, I don't remember who it was, but the dad called him a bastard all the time. How do you think that made him feel? There's people in here today that have wounds that they're carrying from childhood. You may be 50, 60, 70, or even 80 years old, and those wounds never have been healed because somebody spoke cutting words to you, and you've carried them with you all your life. That was not God's plan nor his design for you. His plan and his design was that you receive love from those who were given responsibility for your care. His plan for you was that you be treasured. That was his plan. His plan, ladies, was for you to be a princess to your dad. That was his plan for you. And I'll just say this, that is who you are in his sight. In his kingdom, that's who you are. And what we need to do is hear what God says about us and not what others say about us. Here's what I would suggest. Go home, pray, forgive those individuals, renounce those lies that you've taken with you all your life, renounce those lies in your life, and then receive God's truth. What does he say about me? What does he say about me? And then embrace those things, not what the enemy has said through someone that he used as a tool. And ask the Lord to heal the wounds of the heart that was inflicted upon you. He can do that. He will do that. Jesus said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. And so I'm going to minister to you today. I want you to receive what God's desire for you is, not what someone has spoken over you. No curses that was spoken over you. God wants to bless you and not curse you. So let me ask you again, what kind of words are coming out of your mouth? What's the fruit of your lips? Look at Proverbs 15:4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Lord, give me a wholesome tongue. Amen? Lord, give me a wholesome tongue. But perverseness in it breaks the spirit. So has your spirit ever been broken by things that someone has spoken over you? Scripture says that what happens when we speak wholesome language, that it brings health and healing, but when we speak perverseness, it breaks the spirit. Some of you in here have a broken heart. Some of you in here have a broken spirit. Some of you in here have a wounded soul. The Lord wants to heal that, to remove all of those lies that were spoken over you and bring healing to your heart. A wholesome tongue. So listen, let's become these individuals who have a wholesome tongue. Let's be these individuals that speak life and not death, who speak healing and not hurting. Let's become those kind of people. Proverbs 12, 25. Listen, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. But a good word makes it glad. Ooh, a good word makes it glad. A good word makes it glad. A lot of you, some of you, one of you, I don't know, some of you, somebody may be taking anxiety medications for depression. How did the doctors know that you were supposed to have anti-anxiety medications to address depression? Probably not because they read scripture. But that's what scripture says. So here's the deal. If you suffer with depression, you might want to check and see if you're carrying anxiety. And did you know that sometimes words spoken of over us can cause that anxiety? Anxiety in the heart of a person causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. I'm going to just suggest to you that you go, a good word makes it glad. I would suggest if you're not getting good words from other people, you go to God's word and get good word from Him. Because a good word makes it glad. If you fall into depression, and all of us go into dark seasons, every one of us go into dark periods in our lives. But a good word does what? Makes it glad. A good word does what? A little louder. Amen. Amen. That's right. Now listen to this. Admonition toward fathers. Ephesians 6, 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Instruction that comes from the Lord. So what you ought to be speaking over your children is what God has spoken over them. And not what the world would speak over them. Bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God wants you to have healthy families. God wants you to experience life. He wants your fruit of your lips to be wholesome and holy and right. I have not always had a good mouth. I have not always spoken wholesome things. But my prayer is, Lord, let me be the person that is spoken of in your word, that I can speak right things, godly things, holy things, healthy things, and not hurtful things. So the question we must ask ourselves is this: does my speech bring life or death? Healing or hurting? Blessing or cursing? What kind of fruit comes from my lips? Am I an encourager or a discourager? Am I harsh or gentle? What about self-talk? Am I putting myself down, beating myself up, and seeing only the negative about myself? Or do I speak words of life to myself? Do I speak God speak to myself and to others? Do I speak God loves me? This Jesus loves me more than just a song. It's something that we can embrace. Say, Jesus loves me. This I know. Because of, not only because the Bible tells me so, but he speaks life over me. This word is good. This word is life. This word is life. That's my first point. Point number two, fruit of the Spirit. And I put this next because it's impossible to bear godly fruit if we aren't filled with the fruit of, if we aren't filled with the Spirit. Let me read to you the fruit of the Spirit. Many of you are aware of what it is, but I'm going to just refresh your memory. Galatians 5, 22 through 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such there is no law. So basically it says if you're walking in the Spirit, if you're living in the Spirit, you don't even have to concern yourself with the law of the Word. Because if you're walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit, then you're going to fulfill the law. And God is very pleased with you. If you try to fulfill the law without the Spirit, you become a Pharisee. Be filled with the Spirit. Did you know that only Christians can be filled with the Spirit? Did you know that only Christians can experience the peace of God that passes all understanding? Did you know that? Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And he wants peace for his children. The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you, not as the world do I give unto you. In this world you're going to have trouble." How much peace do you think Jesus has? God said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." How much peace do you think Jesus, our God, has? The Holy Spirit says, "I have some love, joy, peace, some fruit to give you." How much peace do you think the Holy Spirit has? If God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit gave you their peace, do you think you would know it? You better. You know, I've asked that question. I don't know. Well, you would know it. I guarantee you would know it. If the peace of God, the peace of the Son, and the peace of the Holy Spirit resided on you, you would know it. There would not be any, I forgot my word. No doubt, that's a good word. There would not be any doubt about it. You would know it. You would know it. You would know it. So I want to ask you a question. Are you walking in the Spirit? It goes on to say this. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Did you know that was God's desire for us every day, every moment, continually, that we walk in the Spirit, that we experience the Spirit life, that we experience the peace, the love, the joy, that the gentleness, the kindness, the faithfulness. Now, some people can feel when they're leaving the Spirit. They can feel that going on. Other people can't feel it. They just know it when their mouth opens. And they realize, "I'm not in the Spirit anymore. I just curse that person out." So what happened to the spirit? I just kicked my dog. I don't know. Where's my dog? Where? No, you wouldn't kick your dog. You might kick your furniture, but you do something and then you realize, hey, I'm not in the spirit anymore. Others can feel whenever they're leaving and they get back on track. Oh, God, oop, I'm becoming anxious right now. Man, I'm so sorry. I don't want to be anxious. I know you have this. Lord, I'm getting mad right now. I forgive Jenny. I forgive Mike. I forgive them for not respecting me or whatever it is. You need to walk in forgiveness. If you want to walk in the Spirit, you can't walk in unforgiveness. Right? Can't do it. If you want to walk in the Spirit, you can't walk in anxiety. You can't walk in fear. You can't walk in, in grief. Now, let me back up. Sometimes we have grief. Sometimes we have sorrow. Sometimes there are things we have loss, and it's okay to grieve about those things. It's okay to have sorrow about those things. It's okay to go to the Lord and cry with a broken heart about those things. You need to do that. But there comes a time when you need to be healed from that, be able to pick yourself up off the ground and go forward. Don't wallow in it. Right? Does that make sense? In the Old Testament, God told the Israelites, listen, you need to grieve. Grieve for 30 days. Grieve, just grieve. Grieve your heart. And in the New Testament, they had people come in and who were paid mourners. They would come in, and if you had a lost man, these people would come in and they would just wail and cry and get you to cry. And that's the way they dealt with grief for 30 days. But a lot of times we just kind of stuff it. I got to be strong for my family. Have you ever heard that? Where do you find that in Scripture? And did you know that can be hurtful rather than helpful? It's okay to cry. It's okay to weep. You need to do that. But there comes a time when you need to understand that sorrow can take you to depression and despair and take you away from God, and you need to release that, and you need to get back on track, and you need to follow what God tells you to do. You need to put those things away. Okay? And it's okay to feel grief. You need to feel grief. That's an emotion God gave you. That's one you need to experience. If you don't experience it, it can cause some health problems for you if you just choose to stuff it. But if you continue to live there, you're not going to be able to walk in the Spirit. Okay? So allow the Holy Spirit to heal even those wounds of loss. Some of you may be lonely because of loss. You don't ever have to be lonely. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And so what you need to do is you need to reach out to him until you feel him. Okay? Because he's there. He's constant. We know in our heads that he will never leave us or forsake us. We know that. We know that in our head, but we need to feel it sometimes. We need to feel his presence sometimes, all the time. We never need to let those things go. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need to learn how to walk in the Spirit, not walk in anger. We need to learn how to walk into the Spirit, not walk in fear. We need to learn how to walk in the Spirit and not walk in sorrow. We need to learn how to walk in the Spirit. He says there, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Our emotions affect our behavior. Would you agree? When we feel love, we should show love. When we feel joy, we should exude joy. It's kind of, if joy's bubbling up in you, please don't just stifle it. Okay? That could be the Holy Spirit. Probably is. If you have peace within you, don't try to get rid of it, right? You should. So when you feel peace and are at peace in your heart, regardless of the circumstances, then you are pleasant, that you're peaceful. People draw strength from you. When you feel kind, show kindness, right? When you don't feel these things, it's hard to show. Did you know it's hard to show kindness when you don't feel kind? Right? It really is. I can do it for a minute. I'm going to muster my strength and I'm going to be kind, but I hate it right now. It's hard to be kind when you don't feel kind. And did you know if you don't feel kind, that means you're not walking in the Spirit? Right? So what he says is we need to walk in the Spirit. We don't feel these things. When we don't feel these things, it's hard for us to show kindness when we're angry, upset, bitter, or anxious. It's difficult to not say harsh words when we're not in the Spirit. It's hard for us to do the loving thing when we feel hatred. So we're to learn to walk in the Spirit. On Sunday, beginning April 28th, I'm going to start a series on Sunday night, How to Walk in the Spirit. Some of you have been through it, but I've been told it's very beneficial, been very helpful. So on April 28th, we're going to begin that. It's probably a six-week series. And so Sunday nights, beginning April 28th, we'll be addressing that. Okay, that's number two. Should I wait till next week to finish? Yeah, maybe I better wait till next week. These other two are long. So I'll give you the next two, and you can study them. And then we'll be prepared for next week. The fruit of your labor. The fruit of your labor. Just like you receive a paycheck at the end of your work week, so too are there rewards for what you do for the kingdom. So I'm going to preach this a little bit. And I'll come back. So God has given you talents, abilities, passions, life experiences, and he has made you unique and given you these things for his kingdom purposes. He designed you for his pleasure, but also that you may accomplish the work that he prepared for you to do before the world began. Did you know that God prepared a work for you to do before you were even born? Did you know before creation of the world, he had a plan for you in mind? Look at this passage of scripture in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And then verse 10, for we are his workmanship. There's another translation that says we are his. Pardon? Masterpiece. We are his masterpiece. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Did you know God had created you for good works? That he, before you were born, he had a thought, a plan, a purpose for your life. Man, before I was born, he had a purpose for me to go in the ministry. I told him I'd do music ministry, but not pastoring. I told him I'd do youth ministry, but not pastor. I'd be assistant pastor because I don't want to be the one that has to make the final decision, right? I'd rather be under someone. But did you know I figured out that God is the chief shepherd and I can still be under him? Don't tell God what you don't want to do. Because it very well could be that's the very thing he wants you to do. Brother Troy, some of you have met him. He pastors a church in Vancouver now. He was working out in Angola, Africa, in an oil rig. And the Lord brought him to himself, called him to preach. And Troy said, God, I will serve you any place in the world except Angola, Africa. And he wrestled with God and wrestled with God and wrestled with God. And finally he said, God, I came over to Angola, Africa to make money. And if you want me to serve in Angola, Africa, that's what I will do. And God said, I don't want you to. I just wanted you to be willing to do it. And that's the way it is in God's plan. We just need to be willing to walk with him, do what he tells us to do. Because life is good when we're walking in his plan. Life is not so good when we're walking in our own plan. Right? When we're doing our own thing and don't give him a second thought, oh God, I'm going to do this, I'm going to make money, I'm going to I'll read this to you. I hope I have it here. I don't have it. There was a fellow in W.A. Criswell's church, largest Southern Baptist church in America at the time. His name was Kraft. And Mr. Kraft wanted to make lots of money selling cheese. And so Mr. Kraft had this donkey named Patty. And so Mr. Kraft and Patty would go door to door selling cheese, had the little wagon behind Patty. They would go door to door selling cheese. He wanted to be the greatest cheese maker and salesman in the world. But he would go door to door and things were just not going well. He wasn't making any money. All of his profit was going to other things, and he said, man, something's wrong. So he decided, you know what? Something's he was talking to his donkey. Patty, something's not right. I'm not doing something right. I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to just surrender my life to Jesus. So he went to that church that Sunday and told W.A. Criswell, things are not going well. I'm surrendering my life to Jesus totally and completely. And so he made that decision. And then all of a sudden, his cheese sales began to grow. And W.A. Criswell said that at the end of his life, Mr. Kraft said, I would rather be a layman, totally sold out to Jesus, than a person with a fortune who doesn't have Jesus. I don't know where you are today or what you're struggling with, but some of you may be struggling about giving Jesus everything, about really committing to him 100%. Giving your life to him. But I want to share this with you, that when you do that, things are going to change and it's going to look different than it looks right now. But you'll experience more joy, more peace, more happiness than you've ever experienced in your life when you've tried to do it yourself. So here's what I'm going to ask you. Some of you today are struggling with something that you need to surrender. It may be your life. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to ask you today, would you turn from your sins, invite Jesus into your heart because he died on the cross. We sang so many songs today. He died on the cross for you so that he could take away your sins and so that you could experience life. He gave his life so that you could experience life. He took on your sins so that so you wouldn't have to walk in it. And he says, I'm sending someone to you that's going to meet needs that I'm no longer going to be able to meet. And it's the Spirit. And the Spirit will guide you into all truth. He will fill you. So today, what is God asking you to do? I want to pray for you. And the worship team is going to come up, okay? Father, I come before you and I just thank you for today. I thank you for your word to us. I thank you that you make it alive to us. And Lord, that we can be a soldier of yours. We can become a minister of yours, ministering to other people just by the words that we say, by the actions that we take. But God, I pray that today, that if there's anyone here who does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord, if there's anyone today who's struggling with total surrender, Lord, today would be a transformational time in their life. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.